You're listening to the Winning Teams Podcast, presented by Jet Dental, the premier pop-up dental clinic for workplaces nationwide. Now, here's your host, Jordan Smith.
Hey, everyone, and thanks for joining us on the Winning Teams Podcast. Today, we're excited to be joined by Charles J. Reed. And Charles is a certified public accountant, U.S. Tax Court practitioner, member of the IRS Advisory Council, and the founder of Get Payroll. And Mr. Reed's companies have provided full-service payroll services, payroll tax services, and other payroll-related services since 1991. Charles is an accomplished senior executive and entrepreneur with more than 50 years of financial leadership experience in a broad range of industries, and the author of four books, with the most recent one being The Payroll Book, a guide for small businesses and startup. Charles, we're excited to have you on the podcast today.
Jordan, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, tell us a little bit more about the winning team you're building at Get Payroll and your role on that team.
Well, I'm the old CEO. I started the company 30 years ago with my wife, who passed away about 6 years ago, so it's just me now. We have a great team here. It's a very much of a client service team. We have knowledgeable people that continue to get more knowledgeable and are able to interface with our clients and provide them the services they need to get their payroll processed, keep their employees paid, provide benefits, keep time, and other things that are associated with it. So it's really a team effort. I can't do it all by myself. I promise you that. So we have a great team here at Get Payroll, and we service small businesses around the country.
I love that. I know we had a chance to chat a little bit before the podcast, and the thing that probably impressed me most was the love you had for your team. You just said over and over how I can't do it by myself. I love my team. Tell me a little bit more about the process of finding great people and then keeping them.
Finding them, we ask all of our existing, when we're looking for another to fill a position, ask all of our existing team members if they have somebody in mind. It's always easier to bring in somebody that knows somebody.
Yeah.
We use other services, and we look very much for compatibility. As we talked earlier, I would rather have somebody that fits into our system and our team effectively and is trainable than somebody who is fully knowledgeable but yet doesn't fit in. Because if they don't fit in, they're not going to stay. So finding that compatibility with our corporate culture, which is, you know, very much family oriented, very laid back. We do have a dress code. It is you must. So, you know, we're not button up. You know, we're not EDS. It used to be, you know, white shirts, black ties, suits, the whole bit. That's not us. So it's a very laid back atmosphere. Though I don't like flip flops, some of the girls still wear them. So.
Well, I love that, Charles. Talk to me a little bit more about the values at your company and kind of what culture fit looks like for your organization.
Values are it's teamwork. You've got to fit in. You've got to like the people you work with. You got to like your clients. You got to want to get the work done. You got to be fairly analytical. It's payroll. I mean, you know, come on. It's not artwork. It's not fluffy. It's numbers. So you have to be fairly analytical. You have to like that. You have to like clients because they call with all kinds of questions, some of which you've heard 100 times, but you have to be more than willing to smile and explain it one more time.
Yeah.
Because they haven't heard the answer before. You may have told 100 other clients the same answer, but so patience, a good attitude, friendly, analytical, but customer centric. I'm an unusual CPA. I like people. Most CPAs, you know, they'd like to work in an office with an outside entrance and 2 slots in the wall, one for incoming work and one for outgoing work and no phone. But that's not me. I get very, very boring and lonely in there. So you got to like people. And that's what makes it work. We like our clients. Our clients like us. We try to do our best for them. We try to provide them services. And in some cases, services they don't know they need. and we try to explain and to show them where it could be valuable for them and save them time, energy, effort, and money. Keep them out of trouble with the IRS. So, and then on top of that, they have to work with vendors and they have to work with the IRS. So it's a broad range of skill set to work with all these people effectively. Some do it better than others, but all of our staff that sticks around, and most of our staff has been here quite a while, does that and fits in. And we'll have lunch together occasionally. And we had a celebration last month for our 30th anniversary of being in business. So it's fun.
I love that. You've obviously developed a lot of trust within your organization. You've been successfully growing your business for 30 years now, which is, huge congratulations to you and your team. How do you go about establishing trust with your teammates?
You got to be straight with them. You can't lie to them. You can't hide things from them. You got to be straight with them. You got to give them the good news and the bad news. You have to communicate to them. And communication is not just talking at them or handing them stuff. You got to listen to them. They have to feel free to tell you what they think, what they feel, what's going on. Sometimes you have to have a shoulder for them to cry on. You have to ask for input from them. This is critical. They know their job better than you do. So ask them what makes it easier, more efficient. As the boss, you make the decisions in the end, but they know their job better than you do, or they should. I can't do all the work myself by any stretch of the imagination. I've got to have them. And so I want to hear from them what we can do as a company better, more efficiently, more effectively, make our clients happier, make our staff happier. All those things build trust.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you have an example of a time where team collaboration helped improve a process or change something that was incremental for your business?
Well, on the business side, we have checklists and we have procedures. This I adapted from Michael Gerber's book, The E-Myth Revisited, many years ago. And those procedures change constantly. They get updated. And everybody has input into them. Every time we're updating them, for problems, mistakes, difficulties, or for greater efficiencies, newer software, newer equipment. And everybody's involved in that update because it's their work too, and they need to be involved in it. So that's an ongoing thing. But we've had other changes on the HR side, one I talked to you about before. We have a unlimited bereavement policy. This came about from several things. My daughter's death some 28 years ago, where I didn't handle it well, my eldest daughter. And then it really crystallized here a number of years ago when Crystal, one of my HR person, her father died. Her mother also works for me. But her father died and it fell to her to handle all the arrangements, the funeral, the cemetery, the headstone, the funeral home, everything. And he had had numerous wives and baby mothers and so on. So it was a very diverse family. And it took 2 weeks. But that was okay. If she needed 2 weeks to handle that, she's worth it. All of our people are worth it. Why would I tell somebody that needs 2 weeks to take care of a death in a family that you have to be back in 3 days? They're not ready. They've got things they've got to do. They won't like it. It'll be distracting. And they'll be disappointed in me that I don't understand that that's not enough time. Now, for some people, 2 days may be fine. And that's okay, too. Some of them want to get back to work. You know, after 30 years, we've had enough family deaths in our staff that we've learned these things. So I just told Crystal to take whatever time she needed. And afterwards we codified that into our employee manual that you take whatever time you need. If you don't trust your people to take the time they need and come back when they can, then why are they working for you? If you don't trust them, fire them. If you got to trust your people.
Well, I'm sorry to hear about your own personal loss as well as those of your teammates, but I applaud you for the way you've built empathy into your procedures and your policies by allowing that unlimited bereavement. But I would guess, Charles, you see that by building that trust with them, you get phenomenal performance from those individuals too.
Absolutely. We do more work with less people in less time than we've ever done. Some of that's the equipment and the software, but it's people. It takes about a year to learn a payroll software. It just does. There's too much complexity. So after a year, they've gotten pretty good at it. But if they practice at it and study payroll and study the law and become a CPP, a certified payroll processor, all these things make their job easier, makes the communication with the client easier, which leads to client retention. We have just incredible client retention. Our clients love us. I'd much rather have a loyal client than a happy client, because you can piss off a happy client. A loyal client, you can piss them off and they'll still stay loyal to you. Okay? So getting our people educated and learning and knowledgeable and efficient makes everything work better for our clients, and our clients become loyal. We don't lose clients the way some of our competitors do. We get clients from our competitors. We don't lose clients to our competitors. And that's because of our people.
Yeah, no, I love that. I love how you've developed trust with your team. I want to lean into your personal development as a CEO for 30 years with your company. Tell me about, as you look back at your career, what's kind of for you the greatest accomplishment?
Well, being in business for 30 years is quite an accomplishment all its own.
Yeah.
But I'm a learner as well. Not only do I believe my staff should learn, but I learn. I read constantly. I study constantly. I do things. I take seminars. I take courses. I read books. Not too many years ago, I finally went and took a 2-year course of study and became a U.S. tax court practitioner, because the IRS at that point was getting more and more obstreperous, and they continue to do so. And to protect my clients, I felt it was needed that I'm able to represent them in U.S. tax court without being an attorney. And we do that at no additional charge. So we have leveraged our compliance skills that all my people have and I have to a professional level that our competitors don't touch. I believe in educating myself as much as possible about as many things in my business and other things. At 52, I became a private pilot. So, I don't quit learning. I love to try new things and do things and become a more rounded person, as I believe all my staff should as well. These are things that you do that makes you into good people. And people like to deal with good people.
Yeah, there are things you do to encourage your staff to continually learn.
Oh, absolutely. We pay for education. I encourage them. We pay for schooling. We pay for courses. We pay for magazines and books. I'm always encouraging them to get better, to make the steps up toward a CPP, Certified Payroll Processor. You start with a FPC, and it takes several years, and it's lots of study and lots of books and exams and so on and so forth. I encourage that, and other courses that they want to take if they're on a bachelor's program, we just pay for it all. I mean, I'm not sure that some of the electives really apply to the business, but they're part of the coursework. So, if they have to have a course in basket weaving to fit in for an elective, well, so be it.
I love that. I love that you pay for learning and you're continually encouraging it. And, I think one thing I find personally when I'm reading a book, sometimes I'll get ideas from the most random sources. It just gets your mind going and I think gives you inspiration in unique ways. So I love that.
Very much so. Very, very, absolutely. And this is why we're going back to, you listen to the people, because the most unlikely people will have some of the greatest ideas sometimes that you never thought of. Mm. They're closer to the job. They're closer to closer to the client, and they'll come up with things based on their experience and knowledge that would never occur to you. And I love it.
Yeah, I love that. Do you guys have some regular cadences for getting feedback from your people? What does that look like in your organization?
We have regular meetings and brainstorming sessions. We have weekly marketing meetings where we go through everything and what's going on and different ideas, and throw out things. We've had some very random, just off the cuff comments that have turned into some great video blogs. We have one coming out for Halloween that's has a scene like Out of the Ring, where the woman crawls out of the TV into the room. We did a Godfather parody earlier this year, the Payroll Father. So we have fun with these things as well, but we brainstorm quite often because my opinion's not any better than anybody else's. I learned that a long time ago. There was a time, but you know, I got disabused of that. So I want to hear what they have, because that range of experience that they all have is much greater than I will ever have by myself. So it brings all kinds of things to the table, and brainstorming is a great way to come up with ideas and to disregard some of them. And so you don't criticize during brainstorming. Now, yeah, at the end, I make the decision, but I'm making it with far more experience and knowledge than I would have done on my own.
Yeah, absolutely. I think at the end of the day, the leader has to make the decision, but you want to make sure you're making a good decision, a well-informed decision.
The best informed decision you can make. And you do that by bringing in other viewpoints and other experience and other perspectives.
Yeah. Who are some teammates that have been influential in your life and why?
Well, obviously my wife, of course. We were married for 45 years. She married me while I was still in the Marine Corps. Hmm. She had 5 kids when I married her. I claim insanity, but we were married for 45 years. So that's the biggest one in my life. Next one probably is Deborah, who's my right-hand person. She's been with me 22, 23 years now. You can call her my work wife. It took a few years, and you know, we both stormed out of the office at various times in the past, and it's now gotten calmed down. And after 20 some odd years, we work pretty well together. So that works. And then, as you asked, teammates that are coaches, whatever, there's a couple that I've never met that have really influenced my management style, and that's Tom Peters and Michael Gerber. Tom Peters, In Search of Excellence, Michael Gerber, The E-Myth Revisited. Those are books and training that I use every day in my management style. Those have been crucial in my development, and things I read many years ago. The E-Myth Revisited, I buy them by the dozen and give them out to clients, because it really saved my business here 25 years ago. And I'm a great believer in it. So I buy them by the dozen and give them out to clients. It's a book that every new employee reads. It's one of the things they have to do when they come to work for me is read that book.
Yeah, very cool. Well, you definitely do believe in learning. You're giving them books. I love that. That's great.
Yeah, I give it to them. It's their copy. And they're required to read it in the first couple of months. It's an easy read.
Yeah, it is. It's a great book, too. I highly recommend it as well. Changing gears here a little bit, Charles, looking back at your career, what were some mistakes you made and some learning moments for you?
Well, early on, my ego was a little bigger than it is now. And I thought I could market. And I thought I could grow my business. And we did okay. And then here a few years ago, I hired a marketing manager. And I quickly realized I can't market my way out of a paper bag. And if I'd hired a marketing manager 20 years earlier, I'd be a hell of a lot bigger company today than I am. And that again has helped me reinforce the idea of, you don't have to be the smartest person in the world in the room. You just have to learn how to hire the smartest person in the room. You know, we all have a lot of hats when we start a business. Everything. When it was just Ruth and me, you know, I had all the hats, and that's why I'm bald today, because I wore all those hats. But as you grow, you hand off those hats, and handing off the marketing hat was a very profitable thing for me to do. I just wish I'd known it earlier.
Yeah. What advice do you have for leaders to recognize maybe talent or holes they have within their organization?
Well, you know, you always want to backstop areas that you're weak in. And if you have holes in your organization where you find you need somebody for that hat that you can't wear anymore, then look for that person. As we talked earlier, it's a combination of knowledge, experience, and skills and chemistry. If they don't fit the organization, it's never going to work. I would rather hire somebody that has abilities but not the education and fits into the organization than hire a person with all the training and all the knowledge that doesn't fit. We can always train somebody. We can always get them experience and knowledge. We can't change their personality to make it a fit. So chemistry, personality, fit with the organization. When we hire somebody, everybody interviews them. And if anybody says no, it's not a hire. I don't care how bad I want that person. If I have somebody in the organization that says, I don't think I can work with them. And I go, seriously? And they go, yeah. I go, okay, we don't hire them. I'm not going to, as I said to you before, I try to get vexatious people out of my life.
Yeah.
And if anybody in the organization finds that person vexing, why bother? Particularly at the moment. I mean, particularly at any moment, there's millions of people out there that need jobs. The extra unemployment ended a couple of days ago, unemployment benefits. So there's a lot of people looking for jobs, and look for the right one and you'll find them. But you need to hire the right one. You don't go broke by hiring the wrong people. You go broke by not firing the wrong people.
Yeah, no, I agree. You got to have people on your team that you trust, both from a culture, character standpoint. Can you trust their integrity and a competency standpoint? So I love that. Charles, you mentioned earlier your bereavement policy and how it's unlimited. And obviously you learned, you developed some empathy for people going through personal tragedy when you lost your daughter and your wife. And again, our condolences to you. What other advice do you have for leaders who either are personally maybe going through an individual tragedy or have someone on their team that they're trying to help?
Empathy. Understand that tragedies happen. It's never easy. It's never fun. It's hard on them. It's hard on you. It's hard on everybody. Don't play politics with it. Don't get swarmy about it. Just deal with it in a straightforward manner and help them or let them help you. When my wife had her first stroke, she was in the hospital for weeks and weeks on end. I think she spent 3 weeks in the ICU on a ventilator. I'd stop by the office on the way in and go to the hospital. And when they threw me out, I'd stop back at the office. My staff took care of everything. I basically didn't work for 3 months and we didn't miss a lick.
Yeah.
They were wonderful. And so you rely on your staff. When Crystal was out for 2 weeks with her father, we didn't miss anything. We took care of it. Everybody took on a little extra work and it worked out and we took care of things.
Yeah.
It's you got to pull together. You're a team.
Yep.
Okay. You're hopefully a winning team. And so act like a team, be empathetic, care for your people. They'll care for you in return.
Yeah, that's a winning team right there. You can pull together and help people through their own personal tragedies. So thank you for sharing that with us. Charles, we're about out of time and I wanted to give you the final word as I do with all my guests. Tell us your top strategy for building a winning team.
There's never a traffic jam on the extra mile. Go the extra mile, your competition won't. That means for your clients and for your staff. For your clients, make their life easier, best software, best efficiencies, solve problems for them, be proactive, make their life easy. Same thing for your employees. Give them the tools they need, the education they need, the encouragement they need, the time off they need, pay them well, treat them right, give them good benefits, and it will return to you sevenfold. So it's good business. Go that extra mile. You will be pleased. Your client retention will go up. Your staff retention will go up. Your staff happiness will go up. Your efficiency will go up. The amount of work that get done will go up. The amount of money you make will go up. How can you lose? I'm sorry. There's just go that extra mile, because most people won't.
I love that saying. There's no traffic on the extra mile. So I love that. And that's great advice. Charles, how can our listeners reach you online?
We're at getpayroll.com. My email, personal email, is cjr@getpayroll. And as you mentioned, my newest book, if they will go to thepayrollbook.com and enter the discount code podcast for your listeners, we will send them a free book. No shipping, no handling, no nothing. Our newest book, The Payroll Book, A Guide for Small Businesses and Startups. You can say, well, we wrote the book on payroll, so.
Well, that is a wonderful offer. Thank you. So again, that was thepayrollbook.com, and the code is podcast. The discount code is podcast. And get Charles' book. And again, Charles, we really appreciate you joining us today. And thank you for your advice on the Winning Teams podcast.
Jordan, it's been a great pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.